Steve Dawson used to say that all the time, our former pastor. You know, beware of the good that stands in the way of the excellent. Because there's a lot of good things in this world that we could have legitimately, in a sense. But God calls us to a higher walk. And He calls us to fast from those things so that we can demonstrate that we love Him even above the good things of the world. Let me give you a little illustration. I hope you guys don't think I'm really got a one-track mind, but I guess maybe I do sometimes. This is something I shared with the elders a few months back, a testimony, and I held a little bit back from them. I told them part of this, but I held a little bit back because I was embarrassed about my own self-centered shallowness. But you guys get to hear it all today, and the elders, you get to hear the rest of it, the whole story. 3 years ago, we set a goal as a church. We looked at the church and we said, you know, there's things that we could do better. There's ways we could be better servants. And if we will be diligent to do these things and make these changes and put these things into place, we can expect to see the church grow. And we talked about the impression we make on people as they walk in the door and how we can nurture them better and how we can build better relationships and bond with them better. And we decided we would set a goal. That 3 years from then, I said, when I turn 50, I want to set a goal that the church will grow to about 500 people. When I turn 50, I want to see 500. And we felt it was a reasonable goal. We were very confident in that goal. Not because we're interested in numbers, not because we just want to rack up the tally, but we figured we want to make a real impact on the community. If we're not growing, you know, what kind of impact are we making? But we didn't want to grow above 500 because then, you know, you lose the intimacy. You start having strangers walk in the door. You don't even know if they're a member or not. You know, hi, how are you? Do you go here? Yeah, 20 years. Oh, son of a gun. Well, hi again. You know, we didn't want to grow too big. We figured if we hit 500, then we could take maybe 100 people and plant another church somewhere and then continue to grow. And as we would reach that number again, just continue to plant churches. So we set a figure. I said, okay, when I turn 50, I want to see 500 people. And we believed, we were confident that this would take place. A little short today. Yeah, and I turned 50 like a couple weeks ago. But what happened was we started out with a lot of fire and zeal, and we started implementing some of these changes. And, you know, we did see some improvement. We did see some results. But, you know, as time went by, the challenges of life came upon us, and we were challenged to do this and to deal with this other thing and to cope with this other thing over here. We kind of lost track of the vision. And as that initial fire began to die down, as we began to get tired and winded, the vision started to fade. And we began being caught up in just day-to-day maintenance. And I remember earlier this year, in March, I had completely lost sight of the vision. I hadn't even thought about it in I don't know how long. And I was walking out of a grocery store in March of this year. And I got in the car. Missy wasn't with me. I don't know where she was that day. I forget. I don't even know why I was at the grocery store. But I came out and I got in my car and I felt this urge to pray. And I normally would have just, you know, turned on the car and pulled right out because the space was empty in front of me and I just would have taken off. But I felt that urge to pray and I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, just seek the Lord. I don't even remember what it was I was going to pray about. But I closed my eyes. And as I began to pray, suddenly God invaded my prayer. He cut me short. He interrupted me. And He spoke very clearly to my heart and He reminded me of what I had not thought about in months. Many months. He said, John, you're turning 50 this year. You set a goal 3 years ago that when you turn 50, the church would reach about, you wanted to see 500 people. What happened? Where are they? You know, what is kind of weird is, and I'll pause there for a moment. He's had something else to say. As you lose sight of the vision, you get careless. Without a progressive vision, the people perish. They get careless. And my heart had begun to get careless because I was distracted by all these things and I'd lost my focus of where I was headed. And so to entertain myself, I would begin to covet different things. And this is nothing new. You probably even know where I'm going with this. You know, I would get my musician's friend catalog and I look at those PRS guitars and think, wow, those are really cool, man. I'd love to have one of those. And not even talking about the $2,000 model. I'm talking about the little $500 Korean PRS, you know. I used to think, man, wouldn't that be cool? I love the flame maple top on that. And those pickups, man, they're top. It would just be so cool to have that. And I began to think about this more and more and more until it began to occupy my mind. And my focus began to be on that, and God got stopped me short in that car. It's like he put his finger in my chest. He said, John, have you forgotten? You told me 3 years ago you prayed that you could build a church of 500 people. You're running around here worried about a $500 guitar. You ought to be building this church of 500 people. What happened? And you know, when God puts his finger in your chest, there is no answer. God confronted Job. Job had nothing to say except, I repent in sackcloth and ashes on my face. You know, when God put his finger in my chest, I had no answer. I was instantly convicted. I said, God, you're absolutely right. I've been running around here like an idiot chasing some $500 guitar. I'm supposed to be building a 500-member church for your glory. And I was convicted. I didn't feel like praying anymore. And so I opened my eyes, and what I didn't realize is that while I had been praying during that short time, a large truck had pulled into the parking space in front of me, facing me, a large Nissan truck. And it had two headlamp covers, and when I opened my eyes, one of those headlamp covers was right in front of my face. And those it had two headlamps, utility headlamps. It was like sported up. And they had leather covers on them. And as I opened my eyes, it was right in front of my face. On those leather headlamps was, in bold black letters, was the number 500 on each headlamp. God had just finished saying, what are you doing chasing this $500 guitar? You're supposed to be building a church of 500 people. And as I confessed it and admitted it, I opened my eyes, and God had brought this truck to park right in front of me, and right in front of my face was two headlights that said 500 on each one. And fear fell on them in the book of Acts. Fear fell on this man. And I like to fall out the van almost, and get on my face before God because I was in awe. I was like, oh, man. I mean, how freaky is that? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me, or is that like really bizarre? That's God. And that has stuck with me. And that has convicted me. I thought about it just the other day when we were walking down the street up in Hagerstown. And I started getting a little careless with my priorities. And God said, John, don't be asking me for more miracles if you will not heed the one I just gave you. And he brought that back to my memory. And I was like, you're right, Lord. God, help me if I miss that. How blind can I be? And so it has reignited that fire in me. I may have turned 50 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to be 50 for another 50 weeks. I still got a year. And maybe I won't hit that number. Maybe we will. Who knows? But I know where my priority needs to be. And I recall and I remember the prayers that we cried out to God. And while there is time, I don't believe there is a method we can implement that will bring that goal to pass. But if God sovereignly sends his Spirit to move in his people with power, you will not be able to fill this building with the people that will come. I saw it happen in Lakeland. They had a 300-seat church. And by the time 7,000 people showed up, they figured they better find somewhere else to go. So they found a bigger place with thousands of seats, and then 14,000 people came, and they had to put speakers in the parking lot because that place wasn't big enough after 45 days. So, praise God. What's the last thing Nehemiah did? He called God. He reminded God of his promise. I'll just wrap this up with that. You know, it's not all about being on our face in tears. It's about having confidence and joyful expectation that God hears our prayer. That when we cry out to him, he says yes, and he comes down with wings of eagles and swoops down and lifts us up. And he pours out a blessing because he is a covenant-keeping God. And when he gives his word, he will back it up. God has no problem with integrity. What he says, he will also perform, and he is able to do it. What did Nehemiah say? He said, Lord, remember, I pray, the word you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. God says, count on this. I am faithful. What I have promised in my word, I will perform. What I have promised, I will keep and I will deliver. So we can have confidence that if we humble ourselves before God, He will lift us up. And if we humble ourselves before God, we will hear Him say, in due season, Church of the Living God, in Peter's words, charge! And so Nehemiah said, Lord, I'm ready. Now, these are your servants and these are your people who you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah said, you know what, God? I am trusting you for revival. I am going to go ahead and risk my life to tell the king I'm going to Jerusalem. Or to ask the king if I can go to Jerusalem. Never pray a prayer if you are not willing to be a part of the answer. You ever pray for somebody and then God said, well, share the gospel with them. And you're like, oh, I don't know. I'll let somebody else do it. Don't pray those kinds of prayers. When we cry out to God for revival and say, God, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're dying out here and we need you. And unless you come, we're going to die. You must also be willing to be a vessel filled by Him, to be used by Him. Nehemiah said, God, Jerusalem's in shambles. We need help. Please build it up. And by the way, send me. So if we dare to ask God to do something awesome and mind-blowing in our midst, let us also dare to tell God, use me when you do it. Send me. I'll go. I'll speak. I'll pray. I'll witness. I'll share. Let me be the one you bring it to, regardless of the cost. Nehemiah could have been killed by the king for daring to say, King, I'm not really happy being your cupbearer anymore. I've got something I'd rather do. You could be executed for that. He didn't know if he'd ever make it to Jerusalem. He might have been killed right there on the floor. But you know what? He said, it's worth the risk. If I die trying, then my death will be to the glory of God. And God honored that kind of faith. That kind of faith. That's what faith is in the biblical sense. Praise God. That's why I was a little bit bolder on July 4th, and you know, even though I was shy, and I'm not the kind of guy who normally goes out passing out gospel tracts and stuff, because I'm shy, I said, God, I'm not going to sit here and pray for revival and not send your word out to the people. I'm not going to sit here and cry out to you for revival while I'm sitting on my lazy butt, afraid to go out and tell somebody the gospel. So I went and spent all day making 40 CDs of a sermon I had preached about freedom. And I put a little American flag on the thing and said, I'm passing these out, and I don't care what happens, man. If I'm serious, I'm either going to stop praying or I'm going to start witnessing. But I can't do both. So praise God, we went out, we gave them out. We should have had 4,000 of them. I mean, a couple of us took a handful of them. We gave them out. I don't know if 2 minutes had passed before they were all gone. And people loved it. They were like, thank you very much. How much do I owe you? We're like, okay, you don't owe us anything. It's free. It's free. Thank you so much. I wish I could be a fly on the wall when they put the CD in the CD player. Because I didn't spare anything in that message. I mean, I was just like, you know, you check out of here, you better know whether you're going to hell or you're going to heaven, because you don't get a second chance you go through that door. So who knows what their reaction was. I frankly don't care. I hope it was glorious. But unless we step out there and take that chance, we will never know. So if we're going to pray for revival, we ought to say, Lord, send me. Let me be your hands and feet to bring it. Man, I can't wait to make some more CDs. I want to find another event to go to. Man, it was fun. Praise God. Some of us even suffered persecution. Thank God. Praise God. Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. But on the day, if they persecute you and call you evil for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He said, leap for joy. Man, my feet haven't done any leaping lately. I think it's high time I did something that God told me is worthy to jump up and down about, besides going to a rock concert. When we go to a concert and praise and play worship music to God and start jumping up and down on stage, we ought to have a reason for doing that. It's because He is worthy of our leaps and bounds. Praise God. Do I have something else? Nah, that's it. Summary. See the need. Number one, see the need and be broken before God. If you can't see the need, ask God to give you a vision for it. Number two, confess and repent of the things that kill revival and get rid of it in your life. And ask God to wash it clean so He can send forth His power. Number three, remind Him of His covenant. God told us if you who are evil know how to give your children gifts, how much more will the Lord give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I'm not talking about just the Spirit that is in us because we're saved. I mean that anointing and power that falls upon people, that mows people down like cannon fire when God comes in power and glory. Man, that's the vision that He set before us. We have July 18th. We've scheduled an all-night prayer meeting from 7 to 7, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. You are welcome to come to any and all of that, whatever part you can make. If you are serious and you really want to see the glory of God, if you are tired of just playing church, if you're tired of just doing the status quo, and you want to see the hand of the living God move through His people, and you want to be a part of what He's doing, then I would urge you, don't miss this, because this is a part of that preparation. We talked about breaking up the fallow ground, getting rid of the weeds, and making our heart tender before God. This is all part of the process. So we're going to pray all night. And maybe we'll pray all night some other night. And maybe we'll just start praying all night on a regular basis. Who knows? But He said, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and I will heal their land. So I'm going to pray. I want to pray my guts out, man. I want to pray my lungs out. Because I want to see God. I don't want to see His glory. And I think you all do too. Amen? Amen. Father, we just cry out to you, God. Show us your glory. Here we are. Here is our cup. Lord, fill it to overflowing, Lord. Let your water, your living waters, come and overflow, Lord. And let it drip down our arm onto the floor, God. And let us be drenched and soaked and saturated in your power and in your glory. And let us be a holy people unto you, showing your holiness to the world, God. Let us be the city set on a hill, a light which cannot be hidden. We pray you'd covenant with us to do this now for your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.